My name is Raghavendra Jana and I'm from Texas A&M University. The topic of my talk today is the use of artificial neural networks in multi-scale soil property estimation. First of all, why is there a need for multi-scale parameter estimation? There are a number of global and regional scale circulation models for hydrologic and climate predictions which use this hydraulic parameter data at core scales as inputs. There are also some other models such as point source contaminant transport models which use these same parameters at a much finer scale. So measurement of these parameter data at all the required model grid scales is very expensive both in terms of money as well as time. So alternative methods of estimation such as Pareto transfer functions have been preferred for some time now. Artificial neural networks, which try to mimic the brain's learning processes, have been a useful tool in this simulation and prediction exercises in a lot of fields. And they have been used in water resources as Pareto transfer functions. One point to remember, bear in mind here, is that these artificial neural networks do not depend on any of the physical processes that govern the soil property variations. So our objective here is to obtain soil water retention parameters at fine resolution by applying neural network Pareto transfer functions across scales. By across scales, we mean that we train the artificial neural network using data at the core scale and then show fine scale input data to the network, which then provides us the required output at that scale. Conventional or deterministic artificial neural networks try to arrive at a single set of layer weights so that given the training inputs X, the network tries to reproduce the targets Y with the minimum error. A functional approximation of this relationship is here, where W is the weight of the layer. Shortfall of this type of architecture is that uncertainty of the predicted parameters is not quantified. Although some researchers have tried some other methods after the prediction to estimate these uncertainties. Bayesian neural networks, on the other hand, try to infer a probability distribution of the weights, which is updated. The prior knowledge of a weights is updated by information present in the input data. Such an architecture considers the uncertainty in the parameters inherently and provide a range of predictions rather than a single deterministic value. So as I mentioned, the aim in Bayesian training is to arrive at a posterior distribution of the weights given the input parameters. And it takes on this form where the uppercase X and Y are the input data and the target data, which go on 1 to N, and W is the weights. Probability of W is a prior knowledge of the weight distribution, and P of Y given W and X is the likelihood, which describes any information about the weights present in the data. Using this posterior weight distribution, we can then obtain a predictive distribution of a parameter from this form, where x n plus 1 is a new data which is not present at the x and y, uppercase x and y data sets which we use for training, and y n plus 1 is the corresponding prediction. This integration is pretty complex for analytical techniques, and usually numerical methods such as Markov chain Monte Carlo simulations are used to solve these. The data for our study, the coarse resolution data for training was extracted from the NRCS Sargo database, where the soil property data values are based on the soil type and has a nominal resolution of 1 to 24,000. The fine resolution data is from ground measurements made at two sites. One is the Las Cruces Trench site in New Mexico, where the measurements were made by Berenga et al., and the other is the Southern Great Plains 97 Hydrology Experimental Area in Oklahoma, where the measurements were made by Mohanty et al. And published in 2002. These maps of the study areas. This is the location of the Lascaux's strain site, and we denote that by RGB for the Rio Grande Basin. And this is in Oklahoma, where the SGP experimental area. The methodology, we go about it as we take the core scale data and use bootstrapping as a random selection process to extract the inputs and the corresponding targets, which are then used to train the neural network. We then take the fine scale soil data and feed that to the neural network, which gives us the fine scale outputs. The sand, silt, and clay content and bulk density of the soil, which we use as the inputs, have been used traditionally in Pareto transfer functions. And the targets or outputs are the water content at 0, 15, and 0.3 bar. Some sample results. In the interest of time, I've just used the theta 0 bar here. This is for the Rio Grande region. The red values are the measured values of the theta 0 bar at those points, while the blue one is from our neural network predictions with the band from the Bayesian methodology. Similarly, we have for the SGP region too. We can see that the neural network has a better predictive capacity at the SGP region than the Rio Grande region. There's a better capture of the variability here. We feel that is due to the extent from which the data has been extracted. The Rio Grande region, the Lascaux's strain site, is a 25 meter trench, long trench. So there's not much variability in the soil type there. Whereas the SGP region covers many square kilometers, so there's a wide variation in the soil properties. But in both cases, you can see that there is a shift or a bias between the predicted and the target or the observed values. And so we subject this neural network predicted values to bias correction, which is done by the CDF mapping technique, which is a nonlinear bias correction method, which applies a correction to the first four methods, moments, I'm sorry. After the bias correction, the green line is the new values after the bias correction. And we see that there is a much better representation of the variability now, similarly for the SGP region. So effectively, what we have done with the bias correction is now the target or the observed values and the bias corrected values are now sampled from the same distribution. So further, we estimate the Van-Ginnichten alpha and n parameters for the water retention of the soil water characteristic curve, which we then obtain. And we see that this was actually for the Rio Grande Basin data. We obtained similar results for the SGP region too. The red line, which is barely visible because it's overlapped by the bias corrected predictions, they match pretty well. Remotely sensed data, in place of the surrogate data that we have used for as the coarse data, we can use much coarser data from, say, a 1 kilometer resolution for the training. In that case, we could use data from the CONUS or Statsco databases or remote sensing. We could, at this scale, we could also use other parameter properties which affect the soil hydraulic parameters, such as the topography or the land use, land cover parameters. We are still fine-tuning the network for using these parameters, and this is just a preliminary result using DEM and LAI. In conclusion, we feel that the Van-Ginnichten equation fit for the neural network predicted values closely matches the observed values, and that means that the neural network methodology can be used to derive the soil water retention parameters from soil physical properties across scales. And some implications of these conclusions is that it's no longer necessary to intensively measure soil hydraulic parameters at every individual scale for the models, but we would still need a few representative values from each scale for the bias correction procedure. And multi-scale models that incorporate this methodology can be run using the core scale data. So with that, I would like to end with acknowledging the support of the research sponsors. Thank you.
So any questions? We got a little, we definitely have a couple minutes here if someone has any. Someone understood all of what he did.
Or nothing at all.
So what is that, how exactly does that bias correction work? I didn't quite follow.
Basically, it's, the bias correction is by mapping the CDFs of the predicted values to those of the observed values.
Okay.
So we are shifting the entire distribution.
But you do it after you've made your predictions?
From the neural network.
From the neural network. All right, so you do need a few points in which to make that shift.
Yes. But still, it need not be a totally intensive measurement at that scale.
Okay. Any question back here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what guidelines can you give in general towards how you establish the multiple scale, the multiple scale of structure at which is sampled?
The model scale as at the coarse resolution, or?
Well, because in other words, you have to work it at multiple scales. You have to decide. I mean, how many scales are you going to work at?
This methodology can be applied across any two scales. As I said, we have used a 30-meter resolution Sergo data initially, but then we can also use it with a 1-kilometer resolution data as the training data and still use the same fine-scaled outputs.
So if I'm understanding right, you're saying that the scale in this case is just a function of the available support data you have, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that would just reflect in the amount of bias correction that's